Good afternoon. We are continuing our study in Christian characteristics. So go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to be looking at quite a few portions of Scripture, but you could first turn, let's have you all turn to Nehemiah 8. I'm going to go there first for our longer passage to think about. But we are considering today joyfulness. And this is interesting because as Jonathan plans out the year and I look it over and then we kind of pray about it and see how the Lord is leading for the teaching on Sundays, he assigned me joyfulness. 2 years ago, he assigned me the fruit of the Spirit of joy. So I'm using some of my notes from last time as well, but the Lord led me in a few different ways on this study of joyfulness, and I thank you for Callan with his memory verses. I'm going to be using some of those as well. So, but to think about joyfulness, we are looking at Christian characteristics. Let me get something real quick. Christian characteristics. Those things that should be evident in our life as believers. And if they're not, there's an indicator of something that is stumbling us in our life. There are things that are holding us back and allowing Christ to be evident, and so that the world will see Christ, so that the gospel can be known. So I challenge you, as we're finishing out this series, next week is the last one, I really challenge all of us to examine our hearts and our minds, where we are with some of these things. And if we're not where we should be, we really need to take it to the Lord in prayer and really see what things we're struggling with. But the idea of joyfulness is a really awesome fruit of the Spirit, as well as something that should be evident as we meet anyone, and also as we live our lives to glorify God. Joyfulness. Are you a joyful person? There are times when I'm not. There are times that things when you're at work, or when, especially now with the children, doing virtual learning and you're trying to balance things. Sometimes pressures can change your mindset. Pressures can change your demeanor. But we need to be very careful of how we handle these things. So I want us to look at a few things as we think about joyfulness. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to meet with our Savior, Lord, and to meet with your family, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that gives us help, gives us teaching, gives us guidance and correcting. Lord, to really have Christ in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, help us to see these things, Lord. And when we don't see it in our life, Lord, challenge us to rectify it, to make these things clear in our life. Lord, I know that's easier said than done, Lord, when we have a fleshly nature, when we have the world to contend with and Satan to get a foothold in our lives, Lord. I pray for your help. I pray that you would help us to change our hearts, to change our minds and our attitudes for thy glory. Lord, really challenge us, Lord, and prick our heart when we fall short of your calling. Lord, I ask for your help. May your words be spoken today. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Joyfulness. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Think about this. We talked about it at the Lord's Supper. The fullness of joy and pleasures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that reflective in your heart? Is that reflective in my heart, in my life? I don't know. I fall short. I don't know about you all, but I fall short. And I allow things to enter into my mind when I should stop them at the front door and give it to Christ. But I want us to come away with this study and some thoughts of challenge and some thoughts of understanding here. So let me, I hope this comes out in the right way, but just looking back over our Christian characteristics, quite a few that we've covered. In 2018, we covered the fruit of the Spirit. And some of these other characteristics are definitely evident as you've heard speakers speak about them. Things that we as believers really need to take to heart and challenge ourselves. And I like that in the men's ministry, in the men's groups, we could delve a little deeper into some of these things and have heart-to-heart conversations. And I challenge that we all do that as a chapel. We really want to reflect Christ to this lost world. So we are on joyfulness, and next week you'll see keeping your word, and I'm going to add lying and honesty as other sub-points here. So joyfulness, Galatians 5, 22-26, you see that this is a fruit of the Spirit. And I was reading something recently, studying on this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You could see there's a separation of some of these things that you could put them into categories. Love, joy, peace is Godward, what God brings into our life when we have him as Christ, Godward. Patience, kindness, goodness is manward, how we represent Christ to others. And gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, you could see are almost inward, selfward. How do we handle those things in our own life? Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And this is what I opened up with last week. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk hand in hand by the Spirit. That to me, that's an understanding of hand in hand, are we asking the Lord to fill our lives by the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit, if we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's already in us. He's indwelt us. We have the seal of guarantee for salvation, for eternity. But there's also an understanding in the Scriptures of being filled by the Spirit. When we come to faith, there's progressive sanctification. There's a long road of allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in us so that we represent Christ. You know, when we have struggles of anger, of bitterness, anxiety, of depression, loneliness, these are things of our inward man that we need to do business with the Lord in our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach things to us, that we yield our nature, that we fight this battle against Satan and the world, so that we become more like Christ. And this, let me tell you, sometimes this is a daily, hourly thing. Walking in the Spirit, walking step by step. And this is what believers need to realize. It's not just, okay, let me do my devotion, let me do my prayer time, and okay, I'm good, I did it, I check it off. No. As we walk in our days, are we walking in the Spirit? Are we living by the power of the Holy Spirit? And that's very challenging. And I believe that's where we need to get to as we think about these things. Joyfulness. I want us to focus on joyfulness. So let me talk about this. Again, the fruit of the Spirit, of joy specifically, it's an aspect of God. It is who he is. It's joy, love, peace, things that God brings into our life. Is it evident? And if not, we have to figure out why. What's holding us back? What is the substance of the kingdom of God? A few verses for you guys to reflect on in our introduction. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So joy has to be evident in our life if we are called believers, if we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else, all the circumstances of life that we talked about last week and other brothers have spoken about, whatever may come into our life, it should not move us from a joyful spirit of having righteousness and peace in our lives. If it does move us, and I'm going to get into this, is we're just thinking of, like the world, of what's my next high, right? What's the next thing that will make me happy? It's very transient. It's very moving. But when we talk about these things of God, love, joy, peace, righteousness, this is 24/7. These things should be in our life 24/7. What is the substance of a believer in Christ, no matter what the circumstance? 1 Peter 1:6-8. In this you rejoice. Okay, understand this. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice. You rejoice in the here and now with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So I'm getting to the core of what should be in our life is joy. Inexpressible joy. I have been saved from damnation, from eternity in hell, separation from God, and I have been saved utterly of no work of my hands, nothing that was worthy of me, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a reason to rejoice. It's a reason to rejoice. What is the substance of the body of Christ? What is the substance of believers coming together? Well, Acts 2:46-47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They had gladness in their being. They were filled with gladness. Glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Our Lord, you know, when we come together in our meetings, whatever meeting it may be, we should have a word of praise and gladness on my tongue. I should say, hey, brothers, you know what the Lord did for me today, and I wasn't even expecting it. This is what the Lord did. Hey, you know what? I had a flat tire today, but you know what the good thing was of this? You know, that's the kind of mindset we should have in life. Even though, you know, we had some time when we spent some time with Vijay, I was just really impressed that, and I know he's listening, even, you know, this is a really big thing in their life of the job ending. He was like, well, whatever may be, it's the Lord's will. We have to understand it's the Lord's will. And he was going to put his faith and trust in the Lord. Will it be hard? Yes. Will it be difficult for the children? Yes. But is it out of the purview of God and his will? No. God knows what is best, and he's always doing what is best for us, though it's difficult to see. God is working things higher than what we believe. And that's what we need to remember. Are you living a joyful, spirit-filled life? Okay, point of examination. Or a life filled by the flesh and this world? I like this picture that I'm showing you all. It's a picture of a tree that can be very fruitful, can be bringing shade, rest, it could be bringing fruits, it could be, you know, being very fruitful and useful in life, or it can be, you know, just being burned away. We see the fires even in California and the destruction there. But what is our life representative of? The life of life-giving, life reflecting Christ, Or is it just another life of this world? That's something I really want us to focus on. And I really challenge myself, even during this time of pandemic and everything, how am I representing and showing forth joyfulness in my life? Am I being thankful for everything I have? So let's get into this. I want to read this to you real quick. We are not talking about transient feelings that are based on our moods, our emotional highs and lows like a roller coaster. We are talking about the spirit-filled believer who embodies these characteristics that are given divinely by God through the Holy Spirit. And a side note here, we're not talking about a spiritual gift, okay? Spiritual gift, you're given at least one, if not more. When we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, joyfulness, specifically in this message, it's a part of every believer's life. All that have been saved and sanctified in Christ should have this. We are not talking about spiritual gifts. These are characteristics that should embody all believers, not some being gifted with a spiritual gift or gifts defined in the scriptures, but outwardly displaying supernatural aspect of God's character of joy in our life. I want you to think about Nehemiah chapter 8. If you're there, let's read these verses of Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, when Nehemiah goes back and they're rebuilding, they also start reading the word of God, okay? So let's read these verses. Nehemiah 8, verse 8 through 12. They read from the book, from the law of God, They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law." So I want you to think about that. Why were they weeping? Why were they weeping when they heard the words of the law? I believe they were under conviction, right? They were under understanding God's ways of things and how they were not holding to them. Verse 10, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. From weeping to rejoicing, what happened? There was a process. There was something that happened in their hearts, right? And I want us to think about this. They were weeping because they were convicted, they were repenting of their sins. But they also went through a process of what? They heard that God is a loving and compassionate God that forgives, right? That forgives, that wants them as his people. And then why do they rejoice? There's restoration, right? There's restoration. There's a small lesson here of when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's great weeping for our sins, right? But we don't live in, "Oh, woe is me," right? We don't live in, "Oh, woe is me." We live in the present in the Lord Jesus Christ, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and putting on the characteristics and behavior of him. Joyfulness. These people went out with great rejoicing. Why? The joy of the Lord, the joy of him, was their strength. Great understanding here is, I don't know if I'll say the Hebrew right here, but kedva, meaning for joy or gladness, to rejoice or make glad, is the word used here. Strength in the same verse is a Hebrew word meaning a place or means of safety, protection, refuge, or stronghold. The root word of strength means to be strong, prevail, to make firm, and strengthen. They were reaffirming who they were in God's eyes. They were strengthening themselves. And the joy that the Lord gave them became their strength. What is What is our strength? Where do we find our joy? Well, if you look at the world says you need to have the right spouse, the right job, the right bank account, whatever materialism. They're fleeting, right? They jump from one thing to another, and their strength relies in all these things that are so fleeting. But when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Our joy, or the fountain of our joy comes from Him. We'll see this magnified when we get to later in John chapter 15, when we get to the abiding in the vine. It talks about Jesus' joy. He wants to give us His very joy. That's powerful when we look at that, when we'll get there. Let me keep moving here. Just an understanding of some scriptural theological definition of joy here. The gift, theological definition of joy, a gift of God. Spiritual joy is a gift of God to those who believe the gospel, being produced in them by the Holy Spirit, because they believe and obey the word. Mixed with trials, they set their hope on eternal glory. I think this is important that we believe these things and understand these things. Kara in the New Testament, joy or gladness, joyful, joyously, rejoicing, used 59 times. 59 times here. The next word, kairo, verb to rejoice, be glad, to rejoice exceedingly, to be well, and to thrive. I love that word. That's a word that's been focused on in Christendom in the last few years. Are you thriving in Christ? Are you flourishing in Christ? That can be convicting. Lord, why am I not where I need to be? Well, what have you been doing lately with all that I've given you? Have you been spending time with me? Have you been running after the pleasures of this world? Well, how can you thrive when there's two masters in your life? Right? This is the struggle believers have, especially a lot of the young people, when you have so many things at odds vying for your attention. I won't say young people, all of us. So many things vying for our attention. Where do we get our joy from? I want to bring this to three points here in our time together. This is the three points I want to get to. Understanding joy as a state of well-being in Christ. A well-being in Christ, we should not move in whatever circumstance that we come. Health, job, suffering in family, suffering in loss, financial difficulties, family issues, family relationships. Despite all of them, I'm not saying you just ignore them. In these circumstances, our well-being in Christ. What does that mean? And then I want to look at what are some reasons why we don't have joy in our lives? And then the last part is practical. Some things that we can do to remind us and to give us more joy as we seek the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go into this first one, his state of well-being in Christ. Despite your circumstances, joy isn't a human-based happiness that comes and goes. Rather, true joy is of divine origin. I want you to think about that. Joy isn't a human-based happiness that comes and goes. Rather, true joy is of divine origin. Think about the world. What's the world's definition of this? Well, here's a little thought here. Happiness is a choice. You are the only person who can make you happy. Can you see who's the center of their world, okay? Happiness is a choice. You are the only person who can make you happy. You're as happy as you choose to be. It's all self-effort, right? It's all self-effort, and it's all based on how much effort you put into creating happiness for you, right? It doesn't make sense. You'll always come up short. This people that run after this kind of thinking, logical thought, are the ones that are dealing with a lot of the issues, mental health issues or whatever. They need to come before the Lord. How about this one? Happiness is something that comes into our lives through doors we don't even remember leaving open. Oh, that's how lucky I am. Happiness is something that comes into our lives through doors we don't even remember leaving open. There's no such thing as luck, people. No such thing as luck. God orders our lives. God knows it all. People are running after these things. Fortune cookie mentality, right? Here's Dalai Lama. Here's what the Dalai Lama says. Happiness is not something ready-made. It comes from your own actions. Again, following back to that first one, self-effort, right? It's all self-effort. I want you to think about this part here as I read a few things. Happiness is based on circumstantial pleasure, merriment, exuberance, excitement, or something that causes one to feel hopeful or to be in high spirits. That's happiness. Happiness is based on circumstantial pleasure, merriment, exuberance, excitement, or something that causes one to feel hopeful or to be in high spirits. These fleeting emotions of happiness, although very pleasurable at the moment, usually go just as quickly as they came. All it takes is one bad circumstance to alter or state their state of being. One circumstance will alter it all. So fleeting, this idea. Earthly, worldly pleasures, earthly joy, that people rejoice by following the impulses of their heart. In other words, when you get a passion or longing or a desire or a lust for something, and you get it fulfilled, you have joy. That's earthly joy, completely connected to the fulfillment of earthly desires, earthly passing desires. But when we think about in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, the joy that we find in the Scriptures is a deep and abiding inner rejoicing, which was promised to those who abide. That word abide is very, very important. To those who abide in Christ and obey his commandments. It does not depend on any circumstances because it rests in God's sovereign control of all things. When you are mature in Christ, you come to understand some of these things in a deeper way because you start to see a difficulty coming your way and your first reaction is, all right, Lord, I know that this wasn't a surprise to you. I know you have the best for me, and I'm gonna leave it at your feet. You are practically practicing joy in your life when you have the faith to leave it at the Lord. This is the deep and abiding inner rejoicing that we need to come to. Do we have this in our life? I want you to think about a few verses. In this thought here, state of well-being. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, but with the joy of the Holy Spirit. The Thessalonians, he's speaking to them saying, despite your tribulations, you received, and the joy of the Holy Spirit was with you. 2 Corinthians 8. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. 2 Corinthians is an awesome letter. We love 1 Corinthians, and sometimes we neglect 2 Corinthians. But Paul is writing this second letter and telling them, hey, Corinthians, look at the Macedonians. They're even in poverty, out of their poverty, but in the richness of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and abundance of joy, they gave. Why would they give? they were overflowing with joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That is powerful. In understanding how blessed we are here, it doesn't matter how blessed we are materially. It matters how we display Christ spiritually to others. The abundance of joy in our lives will be seen. The Macedonians knew this. They gave liberally out of their poverty. Abundance of joy. Can you imagine their state of being? Their wellness in Christ, their state of being? Man, that's powerful. Philippians 2, verse 17 and 18. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. You continue to rejoice. I am being poured out. I am sacrificing. Paul talks about his testimony and his sufferings. I'm being poured out, and I'm bearing the marks of Christ, and I'm well with it. I am okay with it, and I'm going to rejoice in it. Even in prison, rejoicing, right? How would we respond? James 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. We live in a culture of whining. We live in a culture of whining. When we don't get our way, we whine about it. But as believers, when difficulty comes, when troubles come, it's of God to produce something that's needed in our life. Faithfulness, steadfastness, love, joy, kindness, peace, gentleness. Things that the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And we should what? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. This is transforming work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. That's again, talking about fiery trials and circumstances. Let me just jump into this real quick, and I don't want to dwell too much into this because I want to get to the application part. But why we do not have joy in our lives? These are just some of the reasons, okay? I don't have a whole list here, but here's a few things I want to bring up to you is, you may not have true joyfulness in your life if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the first part that has to be taken care of. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, today is the day of salvation. Come to know him. Some people, they go to church, they go to church day in and day out, but they've never made a profession and accepted Christ as their Lord and Redeemer. Some people need to get off their high horses and bend the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why else don't we have joy in our lives? Maybe you're being tempted. Something is stealing your joy in Christ. Satan is stealing your joy. Peter says, cast all your burdens upon him. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Maybe you've never been challenged after you place your faith in Christ to address all the idols of your life, to address all the temptations of your life. If I could talk to the men real quick. You know, maybe we've never been challenged about holiness and purity in our life enough. Maybe we really need to examine our hearts and how we consider our nature, the things that entice us of this world. Because if we are falling to sinful practices, and I'm talking about pornography, if we're falling to sinful practices, this is how our joy is being stolen. true joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit. Yield yourself, your nature. It says reckon in Romans, Paul uses the word reckon it dead. Reckon your flesh dead. And now you're alive unto Christ. Another reason, unforgiveness. This is something that eats away at people. Past sins or current sins, and you've never taken to the Lord and asked for forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive you. Broken relationships, bitterness, things that you've never asked for forgiveness for. You could definitely go to that person and ask for forgiveness, but also go to the Lord. You may not even receive reciprocally that forgiveness, right, from that person, but you know that you've done what the Lord asked you to do. Is this stealing your joy? Prayerlessness, anxiety-filled lives, worry, maybe not measuring up to some standard, worrying about tomorrow. Again, James 5 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Joyfulness. You know, when you go to the Lord in prayer, you have this first sense of, you should have this first sense of thankfulness. If we pray more, if we talk to God more, we have this sense of gratitude and we lay everything at his feet. Everything that's bearing down on our shoulders about life or whatever it may be, leaving it to the Lord and asking the Lord for help. Maybe we don't pray enough. Finally is ignorance. We're not studying the word enough. No truth of God in our life. No sound doctrine that we study. Therefore, we don't know the truth of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we live ignorantly. Even as believers, we just do the same old habitual things and we never get deep in the inner abiding sense. Apologize about the time, but we're in the last portion here. Let me read this quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and fleshly desires and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum, because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." Thinking about joy, we are half-hearted creatures, fooling with the things of this world. Well, elements of joy, reasons to have joy is where I want to leave this. And we cannot go into all the scripture portions here, but I want to leave this with you all. The first is abiding in the vine. I want you to think about abiding and obedience. John chapter 15 is an awesome chapter, and if we had time, that's a study in itself. But Jesus talks about, actually, let's turn to that because there's one verse I want to focus on. John chapter 15 here. Think about these verses. John chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," okay, Jesus speaking here, "that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." So what's he talking about here? If we abide, meaning, you know, our source of life is in him and we're dwelling with him, we're having a vibrant life in the Lord every single day, and if we obey his commandments, we get to experience the fullness of his joy. Jesus' very own joy, his joy in our own lives. Man, when I think about that, I'm lacking in so many ways. My challenge, my goal for my life would be, man, can I experience the fullness of his joy? Well, I'm not abiding enough. Maybe I need to study the word more. Maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I need to... Do you understand where I am? Abiding in the vine, obedience in God's commandments brings his fullness of joy. Confidence in the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go into this verse, but confidence. Do you have confidence in the Lord that he's doing a mighty work through the Holy Spirit? Dependence on God, Hebrews 13, Luke chapter 10, all these verses here, talks about having a faithfulness, trust in God's overwhelming work. Or do we just waiting for the next person to bail me out or the next door to open or whatever it may be? You're not depending upon God then. Where do you leave your dependence on? God is looking for us to turn to him. This is a big thing that, you know, we talk about thankfulness usually just in November. Thanksgiving, right? But in all our prayers, whenever we pray, whenever we talk to God, there should be thankfulness, gladness, a mindset to praise in prayer. And you see the verses here. Paul did it. There's many examples of thankfulness to the Lord, speaking out in praise. We come to the Lord's Supper to be thankful, to worship him, to praise him for the great salvation we have. This element of joy, this fullness of joy will be more in our lives when every time we speak to the Lord constantly, we're saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you for being with my wife. Thank you for being with Anjali. Thank you for being with Aaron. Thank you for who they are and what you're doing in them. When we have a mind of gratitude, our spirit changes to reflect Christ. Fellowship and petitioning for others. This is bearing one another's burdens. The affection of our heart will be displayed when we think about others and not our selfish desires. We would have more joy when we experience the joy of others. And we have others praying for us as well. Participation, of course, the gospel work also brings us joy when we see people, other people come to Christ. So with that said, I want to understand and I want to ask you all, where are you with the Lord? Are you living a joyful, spirit-filled life or a life filled by the flesh of this world? One last quote here, an illustration, then maybe I'll ask Micah to come up to close in a word of prayer. This is a little thought that I came across. As a third century man was anticipating death, he penned these last words to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them. Can we say that for our own lives? And having true Holy Spirit-filled joyfulness in our life. Micah.
I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll close in song. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for what Anil said about joyfulness and how we can just be thankful that you are our joy and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I pray that you would just allow us to go forward from here and that we would rethink about it and that we would seek to be filled with your spirit and by that filled with your joy and that others around us would see. And it says the joyful heart is like a medicine, that we'd be able to just follow Christ's command and to minister to others by that means. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this all and we thank you for what you've done for us. Amen.